Welcome back to U Conversations, where we have science-based, health-focused conversations with University of Connecticut Doctor of Physical Therapy students. I am Dr. Christina Colon-Semenza, and I'm a physical therapist and assistant professor in the UConn DPT program, as we like to call it. And I'm excited to welcome today's episode. We have Lauren, Emily, and Michaela here to talk with us about antioxidants and their effect on joint health. So I'm really excited to learn more from you guys, but before we get into all the details of that, can each of you introduce yourselves and tell us why you are interested in this topic?
Yeah, so I'm Emily, and I kind of have like a silly interest in this topic, mostly because I love to come up with little phrases, and like the phrase of an apple a day keeps the doctor away really has me, sometimes I think about it too deeply. I'm like, what's the reasoning behind that? So I kind of just wanted to look deeper into that aspect.
I love that, Emily, yeah. Because right, there are all these expressions that we say and you wonder what the origins are of them. So does that have any basis to it?
Like, yeah,
any
science, or is it basis? Just kind of a
totally
saying.
An old wives' tale, yeah. Right? So yeah. Love that you're curious.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Hi, I'm Lauren. I am Jamaican, and I don't know if anyone else from these cultural backgrounds has the same remedies that they give, but anytime that I was sick, my mom would always give me these crazy concoctions of like boiling ginger root and orange peels and honey and making me drink vinegar and salt. I'm so sorry, I'm losing my voice.
You might need some right now. Yeah, where's your mom?
I don't know, I'm gonna call her after this.
Yes.
But I don't know if anyone saw that TikTok trend
when COVID was happening.
And people lost their sense of taste. There was like a Jamaican remedy that everyone was doing and boiling and eating an orange.
So I just kind of hear about that.
Yeah, it was like a huge thing during when COVID was, you know,
occurring.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of thinking, is it just like these cultural tales or is there actually some truth to it?
Yeah, same thing. So I've wondered a lot about all those things as well. My grandma always used to, it was the honey one, was with the sore throat. Yeah. It was a big time with honey. And you see honey in all of these things in the pharmacy, right? So it's like, well, is that just grandma thinking that honey actually does something to my throat when I'm sick? Or is there some science behind it? And it's often a mixture of the two. It's like, well, people did it because it seemed to work and they don't necessarily have the science to back it up. But if we investigate it, maybe we'll find there really is some scientific basis to it.
Yeah, cool. Absolutely.
Okay. And Michaela.
Hi. So I'm Michaela, and kind of similar to Lauren, my mom is very obsessed with going to farmer's market. She's super into organic foods. Everything she cooks with, she wants it to be organic. So kind of like wanted to take a deeper dive into that and see like what's really the reason why these foods are so good for our bodies.
Okay. So interesting. So for you, it was like not only the food itself, but is it organic or not? And I've had people ask me this, like, it's more expensive. Is it worth it? So that's an interesting thing to ask and wonder about. Okay. All right. So that's all of you guys and why you're interested in this topic. And so just to start our listeners off, to give them an idea, should they stick around for the next 15, 20 minutes or so in this podcast, what do you guys think are the takeaways that your listeners are going to have after listening to this whole episode? What will they learn about? What will they take away from today's episode?
I think they'll just learn a lot about, we talk a lot about marketing as well as like the benefits of antioxidants.
Okay.
And I just feel like it's good to know when you're at a grocery store and looking at all these healthy products that are labeled like antioxidant and like you're like, oh, that seems healthy, but why? Okay. Why? You know? So okay. I feel like it'll be good for the future when people go to the grocery store and you're like, I know why this is good for me. And okay. I'm going to buy it.
Okay. So we're going to learn about antioxidants, the science behind antioxidants, but we're also going to learn how to be a smart consumer.
Yeah.
Like how to appropriately go to the store, take in maybe the healthiest choices related to food and antioxidants. Would you say that's a good kind
of
takeaway point?
Yeah. Just to know kind of like what's false advertising and what's
not. All right. So antioxidants, false advertising, how to be a smart consumer, how to make the best choices for your health and your diet. Okay,
yes.
So then let's get into it. So take it away, you guys. What do you want to share in terms of the details of what you learned? What did you learn when you're doing all your research on this topic?
So basically when we were doing our research, it was important for us to see how antioxidants were doing, what they were doing in the body and exactly what was going on. So the best way for us to describe it to you guys is I want you to think of them as superheroes. And there's a lot of villains in your body, things that cause inflammation and many other things. And antioxidants are those superheroes basically battling day to day to make sure that those villains don't take over your body, if that makes sense. So I'm going to let Michaela do the background for us and kind of give us a little synopsis of why that's important. But yeah.
Okay. All right. So antioxidants we can think of as the superheroes.
Yeah.
And then there are villains in our bodies that are fighting against these superheroes. But what are these villains?
So these villains are the oxidative stress that comes within our body. That is what causes that chronic inflammation, which I'll talk about a little later, but we'll stick on the topic of the superhero and the villain reference.
Okay.
So oxidative stress, our villains, are natural processes that occurs in our body every day. But think of it as a big battle between our superheroes, our antioxidants, and our oxidative stress, the villains. So sometimes the villains can overpower our superheroes if we don't get enough of them. So in our body, when there are too much of them, it causes that chronic inflammation, causes chaos in our bodies. So what we want to do is consume more antioxidants so they win that battle of superheroes versus villains in our body and decreases that oxidative stress.
Okay, so it's not that the antioxidants are actually stopping the oxidative stress, right? Because that is something that has to happen in our bodies. That's
right.
Not something that we can affect, but we can create a better balance between the antioxidants and the oxidative stress. Is that correct?
Yes, that is. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So it's, go ahead, yeah. Emily, did you want to add to that?
I was going to say, like, I was thinking of kind of like how in Marvel movies, like there's always chaos that surrounds like the battles between those heroes and the villains, but like at the end of the day, they usually win.
Right.
So it's like, there is that kind of chaos in the background, but like at the end of the day, they win and like make it a better environment. So,
and antioxidants
can
help to offset that.
Offset it, yeah.
And have better outcome in the end.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And if you're not having enough, then it's like the Thanos snap and like he wins.
So if you don't have enough good guys, then the bad guys win. And that's when we see this chronic inflammation, all these diseases and disorders that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So we kind of mentioned chronic inflammation in the body. So it is presented in many, many ways. You probably have noticed a couple in the past. So for example, a few that we found when we were researching was kind of digestive issues. So chronic inflammation can come as bloating and discomfort. It can even present as headaches. So it can trigger persistent headaches. For women, it can even be irregular menstrual cycles, acne, skin problems, and then also weight trouble. So many people find it challenging to lose weight due to chronic inflammation. And these are things that we don't really think can be due to chronic inflammation. We think maybe we're eating too much or, you know, we're stressed, but chronic inflammation could definitely play a huge role in stuff like that.
That's really interesting. I don't think about obesity and chronic inflammation together. So there's evidence to say that chronic inflammation in the gut can affect weight and weight loss. That's pretty interesting. Yeah. There's, so it's not just, I think inflammation as a healthcare provider, as kind of those cardinal signs and symptoms of inflammation would be swelling and redness and pain, right? But it's interesting to hear that it can be acne or headaches or weight problems. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Yeah. And a lot of our foods that we eat are also culprits of chronic inflammation. So we found that excessive alcohol, so overindulging in alcohol, can contribute to chronic inflammation. A lot of added sugars that we use in our diet, saturated fats like beef, consuming too much can promote inflammation. Trans fat, so a lot of junk food, that microwave popcorn that we love, and the highly processed food. So anything that comes in a package that's ultra processed can cause chronic inflammation as well.
Okay, interesting.
I mean, like, no one's a stranger to those foods either.
Of
so
course,
like,
of course, right. We all have those things in our diet, and I think we know that there are things that are not as good for us, but I don't know that everybody equates those things necessarily with creating inflammation. So that's
it's
interesting.
It's a lot about like being in tune to your body too. So it's like, you know, after you go out to eat, you might feel like super bloated the next day or all that kind of stuff, but you don't think about that maybe like, oh, it's inflammation. It's not just the food I just ate.
Right. Interesting.
You know what I
mean? Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So there's that swelling. That is that cardinal sign and symptom of inflammation, but don't necessarily think about the swelling when it's bloating in your stomach.
Exactly.
I don't know.
So chronic inflammation can also wreak havoc on the joints, so damaging cartilage, bones, tendons, and ligaments. And us as PTs, that plays a huge role and our everyday lives and the patients we see, mm-hmm. not just like pain, swelling, and stiffness that you typically think of right. for injuries. So us as physical therapists, this is something that we encounter. And actually, for us, you know, we're a non-medication type of healthcare.
Yeah.
So we want to kind of dive deeper into what non-medication strategies you can use to kind of combat that inflammation that comes within the joints.
That makes a lot of sense. So obviously, one of the main tools in our toolboxes is exercise, right?
Right.
But exercise and diet really go hand in hand mm-hmm. in terms of those non-pharmacological tools to manage health and wellness. So yeah this seems like a natural topic that we should be educated on and that we should educate others on so that they can have a more holistic approach to their health and wellness. So awesome. This is a great topic, you guys. What else do you have to share?
Yeah, so Michaela, we all kind of chose a different food item that we wanted to dive deeper into, especially like very popular food items. We literally have a little box of blueberries on the table right now in front of us.
Sale.
And
they were on sale.
Exactly. And so we're each going to kind of talk a little bit about that. Michaela can talk about her blueberries first since we're on that topic.
Yeah, of course. So berries, as everyone probably have heard, berries are the most popular antioxidants on the market.
Yes, I've heard that one.
Yes. So berries in all different flavors, shapes, and sizes. Strawberries, cherries, raspberries, acai berries are a very popular one now. So they're
one. Let me ask you that right now. I don't even know what an acai berry looks like. I hear everything about, what do they even look like? What is an acai berry?
I only see them in smoothies.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I know all these other berries. I have no, what color is it? What shape is it?
I think it must be like a raspberry color.
It's blueberry. It's a small blue purple berry. And like, so it's too bitter, honestly, to eat.
In its raw form.
Yeah, so when I used to buy it, when I was on my super health grind, I would buy it ground up and organic from like Whole Foods. So you could buy it in like the fridge section. And I would like sprinkle it on top of stuff and just eat it raw because that's like the best way to do it.
So you can't find,
like, you would never buy like an acai
berry. What are you saying? Like in the section with the blueberries, strawberries. Why aren't the acai berries right there with all the other berries?
No one would buy it, I promise you.
It's good to know. Good to know. All right, so carry on. Acai, yes.
Yes, so berries are the most highest in antioxidant capacities amongst all the fruits and veggies that we're going to talk about today.
Okay.
So they have like this compound, this very vibrant red, blue, purple color in the berries that basically keeps them rich in vitamin C. It's a huge player for the production of collagen.
Okay.
And it's a protein that's crucial for maintaining healthy joints and connective tissue.
Okay. All right. So key for us as physical therapists, keeping those joints healthy.
Yes. So they have things like ascorbic acids, anthocyanins, and carotenoids, which combat free radicals, which is kind of like that oxidative stress that we were talking about.
Yep.
So it combats those radicals in the body and helps fight off things like heart disease, certain cancers, and decreases that oxidative stress. So it's essential for us to kind of eat berries throughout our day, put those in our diet more so we can, of course, chronic inflammation.
That makes sense. So the blueberries, the acai berries, those are all our superheroes that we were talking about.
Yes.
Fighting things like cancer, heart disease, joint disease.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Okay. And we have a video on blueberries that we would like to share with you all. And it also kind of gets into the marketing that we were talking about earlier. So we'll play it for you now.
The astounding antioxidant capacity of the wild blueberry is what first attracted modern-day scientists to study this amazing gift from Mother Nature.
And in supermarkets, you see the word antioxidants everywhere. Snapple Ice Tea Mix boasts antioxidants. Tropicana Orange Juice says it has an antioxidant advantage. And even this bag of chips claims it contains antioxidant power. Consumer Reports health experts say don't be taken in by packaged foods touting antioxidants.
A manufacturer can add antioxidants to food, but that doesn't mean it's a good source of what you need.
Take Kellogg's Fiber Plus bars that say they are rich in antioxidants, vitamin E, and zinc.
You can get more vitamin E from just 1 ounce of almonds, and you can get more zinc from just 3 ounces of lean beef.
And should you really focus on wild blueberries? Are they the number one antioxidant fruit?
There is no one antioxidant superfood. The best thing you can do is to eat a wide variety of foods that are naturally rich in antioxidants, like fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. Those will give you the biggest benefit.
So yeah, so this video kind of had an article linked to it, and we kind of delved deeper into the article. They talked about lawsuits with antioxidant marketing. And some of it talked about how companies will add like vitamin C or E to their products and like label it as antioxidant rich when in reality they have a lot of sugar and added other things in it. So the people are going to the grocery store seeing, oh, these products are antioxidant rich with vitamin C and vitamin E and stuff like that. But in reality, they have all these other bad things for you going on that it's just kind of like, it's not true to the antioxidant like label that they're giving it. And there were so many lawsuits. Another one that we found interesting was the Hershey company had a big lawsuit where I guess like cocoa has like this natural, they call it flavanol antioxidant.
Right. So that's dark chocolate. I know dark chocolate has antioxidant effects.
Yeah. And so I guess basically they market it as like, oh, we have this cocoa, this antioxidant.
Okay.
This is back in the day. They've gotten a lawsuit for it and everything, but like they have this natural process that actually takes out the flavanol during their chocolate processing. So they were like marketing it as that, but really the process like took it out during it.
So the manufacturing process takes out the natural source of the chocolate.
But they were still marketing it as it having it. So they like went through a whole thing too. So it's like you start thinking how many other products are also doing this on the market. So like I feel like kind of what we were looking at was more like really like grown from the root type antioxidant, not like processed sort of things, because we have like processes like that might take it out. So we're looking more into that.
So what can consumers do then? So is it that the market has been corrected now because of all of these lawsuits that we will no longer see this on packaging, or is this still currently occurring? And what should consumers do? How would they know if it's false advertising or not?
I think like because like the superheroes, the antioxidants have gotten so popular in like the recent times, I feel like definitely like people have been looking into it more, and like there have been more lawsuits, there have been more corrections.
Okay.
And that's like not to say that I know that like every single product is edited it and whatever, but I do feel like there's definitely a more of a concern for everything being actually true to like the words that they say. So like I have more faith in everything, but I do think that consumers should maybe do a little bit of research on what they're actually consuming.
Yeah, there's a ton of websites that you can look at now that show like true antioxidant, like full foods, full rich foods. And I think that it's important, like if you are going to buy the chocolate, this is kind of where Michaela's piece comes in. Like if you have the money, like spend it on the organic, like dark chocolate, because it's like, though they can't lie. So like when things are organic, they have to go through so many checks and balances basically to even say
that their item is certified organic.
So
organic, right?
So if it says antioxidant but it also says organic, you have a better chance of actually getting all those antioxidants that you want.
Okay.
Versus like having something like Hershey say, oh, we're antioxidant rich, but we're actually not.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of like my piece. Also buying like all the natural foods, all the berries like Michaela talked about.
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely keep it simple. It's a huge thing. I think you'll learn a little bit more as we continue the podcast, but I talked about berries. Lauren and Emily here have some natural, keeping it simple foods that you kind of use in your everyday household that you don't think about that are natural antioxidants.
That's good advice. Actually, it's a perfect segue into mine. So I'm going to ask all of you, what's something that you have in your kitchen and you like never seem to run out of it?
I was going to say Dove dark chocolate. I always have it somehow. Ice cream always. I wish it was better than that.
I mean, salt for me in my household, my husband is a huge salt.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, so we never, if we run out of salt in my household, we're in trouble. So
yeah.
Have to have that. Yes.
But one thing I was thinking of was like garlic. Right? And I went to Emily's house last night and I look in her fridge, she has 5 jars of minced garlic just like sitting in
there. I always forget that I have garlic.
Oh, like, and when you go to the supermarket,
I'm like, okay, gotta get more. So I have like five
jars. Okay. That's impressive.
Yeah. So it's just something that you never really think about, but like, I mean, I always have it like Obviously, Emily has enough of it, but
I have my jar of minced garlic in the refrigerator.
Yeah, it's in there.
But I like when I really have the time, I like to actually chop it up and mince it myself.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Perfect.
Or my crushed. I love crushing. Oh, in the little cloves and the little garlic. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yes. That's easier.
Yes.
Anyway.
Love that.
But so as physical therapists, we talk about a lot of conditions that are chronic inflammation conditions.
Right.
So one of the ones I wanted to focus on today for mine was rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah.
And basically, I won't go into like the super scientific details of it, but I'm going to tell you about the symptoms, and the symptoms include a lot of, you know, those inflammatory things that Michaela was talking about earlier. So it's like a lot of pain. You have feet, like have fevers, you have weakness, you have joint aching in multiple joints across the body, which is, you know, it can be really hard for someone with rheumatoid arthritis to get through their day to day.
So Lauren, can I ask you the question here? Because something that I found is that a lot of patients that I would interact with would get confused with what is rheumatoid arthritis versus what's osteoarthritis. So I don't think a lot of people in the general public have an appreciation that there's more than one type of arthritis.
There's a lot, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So can you just, I think the dominant one is osteoarthritis, right?
I'm going to get
versus
into that
rheumatoid.
As well,
you will? You'll explain that out for our listeners?
A little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, a quick brief is just basically osteoarthritis is degenerative.
Okay.
Rather than rheumatoid arthritis, which is systemic.
Okay, that's
so
helpful.
If that
so, what would that look
is a big
like?
Word, but
yeah, what would that look like for somebody?
Like on a day to day.
So, what would it like? How would somebody know if they have systemic arthritis versus degenerative?
So, kind of with degenerative arthritis, the osteo that we were talking about, that one is something that happens just with wear and tear on the joints. Like the best way for me to keep it simple. But rheumatoid arthritis, I don't want to say it's kind of like a sickness, but in a way it is. It's like you have a fever and it's not just like one joint, because with osteoarthritis, it's usually like one or two joints throughout your lifetime.
Sure.
Rheumatoid, it's throughout the whole body and it's like multiple joints. So it's like your fingers, your hands, your wrists, your shoulders, your elbows, your knees, like everything. So that's the best way I think for me to describe it.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's considered autoimmune, right?
Yes.
So,
autoimmune. There
yeah.
That
so. OA has that immune system still kind of working and helping with the process, which also kind of causes inflammation. But RA, which Lauren is talking about, is that autoimmune. So like they kind of don't have the capacity to fight off the inflammation in that way.
Process,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if someone has one knee that's bothering them, it's more than likely more of that degenerative thing.
Yeah.
Maybe they had an injury when they were in high school and now they're waking up and the knee is stiff in the morning.
Yeah.
Whereas with RA, it would likely be both knees are hurting simultaneously. And not only both knees, but both wrists and finger joints.
Yeah.
And so it's something that you would see more all over the body.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's helpful for people to understand. Do I have RA or do I have?
Oh yeah. No.
Yeah.
Not trying to scare anybody.
Right.
No scary.
All right. So more about RA though, and rheumatoid arthritis. Tell us about it.
So basically going back to the antioxidant piece, garlic is super rich in antioxidants. It's actually not as talked about as, you know, like berries and such like that.
Right.
So I was doing research on this because I was like, that's so cool.
Right.
And I stumbled upon this article that was like super interesting. And
okay.
It was basically a study done on 70 women with RA, and they were supplemented with garlic.
Okay.
They were supplemented with I think it was 1,000 milligrams of garlic to assess like inflammatory biomarkers, basically just things that are kind of that cause that oxidative stress, like things that result from that oxidative stress.
Okay.
And it was done with 8 weeks. It was a double blind study, which basically means like everyone was blindsided. You know, the researchers didn't know who had what, and the research and the subjects didn't know what they were getting.
Got it.
So I thought that was really cool. And at the result, at the end of the study, the women who were supplemented with the garlic had like significant decreases in pain intensity, had significant decreases in joint pain. They said that their day-to-day life was so much easier. And that they were able to kind of just, their fatigue was way less as well. Like they felt more awake throughout the day.
Yeah. Wow.
And what made it even better for me, I love double blind studies because I feel like there's no bias in it.
Right.
And with the group that wasn't supplemented, they were given a placebo.
Okay.
And they had all the same measurements from before and after. So they all felt the same way. Their joint pain was still the same.
Yeah.
Fatigue was still the same. So I just thought that was like such a cool study to see and like kind of emphasize for me that garlic is a really good antioxidant source.
Cool. Yeah. So that sounds like it was a really strong research design to help us understand what is going on with the use of garlic. Mm-hmm. But something that you mentioned was that it was 1,000.
It was 1,000 milligrams.
Milligrams?
Yeah.
So that's a lot of garlic. I love garlic. I use it in my cooking all the time. But what would that look like? Like, how much garlic is that?
Well, it's like kind of, you know, when your parents just like tell you to take your vitamins.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. It's like nothing. It's nothing too crazy. It would be like, there's so many different forms of it too. Mm-hmm. So there's like, you can do garlic oil. Mm-hmm. You can do, in this study, they did a pill. So it's okay. like a 1,000 milligram supplementation pill.
Okay.
It wasn't like they were eating okay. a spoonful of garlic. Cause okay. I don't think anyone would want to do that.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Their breath would be crazy.
Makes me wonder a lot of things because we've been talking about keeping it simple and fresh ingredients and going to the supermarket and finding these things. But in this study, they were giving it in supplement form.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering in terms of, do we know if that, you know, is it better to take it in supplement form? Like, should I be taking the key components of berries and garlic all in a supplement? I know my dad saw something on TV that it's like, here's a tablet that has all of the fruits and vegetables that you need in a day. Take this.
Yeah.
Right. And so my dad is really keen on this now and he gives it to himself and my mom every morning. I can't eat all these fruits and vegetables in the day. I'm just going to take this tablet.
Yeah.
So should people be doing that to get it all in?
So there's different ways of doing it. And it kind of just depends on, I think the best way for me to describe it is if you are a busy person, or if you don't like to cook, or if things are like that, then maybe that's the best thing for you. Obviously, in an ideal world, we would all love to have like our 1,000 milligram, which actually isn't that much, like raw, like, you know what I mean? Like if you were to chop it up and stuff like that, it'd be 1 gram, like, you know what I mean? Like it'd be like a clove of garlic probably.
Okay.
But you know, if that's what's easiest for you in the morning, then okay. Like, you know what I mean? Obviously, I think keeping it simple, like we talked about before, is the best, where if you can eat it and you like to cook it, or if you want to like eat a clove of garlic in the morning, like be my guest.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But I can definitely understand if people just like want to do the pressed oil or want to do the supplementation. But I think as long as you're getting it in, I think that's the most important piece. You know, we could, you know, sit here and argue, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I think at the end of the day, like people's lives are different and all that kind of stuff. So whatever's best for them, I think that's the most ideal way to do it.
Okay.
And talking about things that you take in the morning, this kind of relates to seeing my dad do a bunch of different things that he does with antioxidants in the morning. And he also has an inflammatory kind of autoimmune. He has psoriatic arthritis. Okay. So we interviewed him kind of to get more information on how antioxidants in his diet has helped him. So I will play that for you all.
Great.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your psoriatic arthritis?
Okay, so my psoriasis and my psoriatic arthritis has gone back since I was a teenager. I've always had psoriasis and I thought I had joint pain. I thought it was something else. I thought it was always attributed to sports. As I got older, I sought treatment for my psoriasis, and they literally, my dermatologist would just give me the traditional medicines. Fast forward a couple of months, I go to a rheumatologist and they do a whole bunch of testing and they equate my psoriasis to psoriatic arthritis. They say they run hand in hand.
Yeah.
So I went on biologics and, I really needed to look at a more natural way to fix my issue. Talking to a bunch of naturalists, as well as a couple of friends who really are into this stuff, they led me on to a more of a natural diet using antioxidants and those type of things. I decided to incorporate stuff like turmeric into my diet, green tea into my diet, ginger into my diet, blueberries and foods that were more natural rather than relying on a label that said I have antioxidants in it, because I know that's just a marketing ploy.
Believe it or not,
I took some advice from Tom Brady, the TB12 diet, and started looking at foods that were more inept to stopping inflammation and helping arthritis rather than going down the road of always just treating it with medicine. It's been working very well for me. I lost weight. I had more mobility. I highly recommend it to anybody who comes to me with any type of pains or anything else like that, that to look at a more natural approach and not rely on marketing, but more rely on the science of the labels and seeing that kind of stuff. I highly recommend it.
So it's like we were looking into how can we kind of counteract these effects of OA, since we see a lot of patients with OA, and also just like how it's such a big population size.
And we know that exercise definitely helps.
Yeah, exercise definitely helps. Obviously wanted to look more into the diet aspect as well. So, gotcha. I was looking more into apples. So this is where my little quote came in from
apple
before.
A day keeps the doctor away. Yes.
So, I mean, I remember we were all kind of chatting how I was like, did you guys know that apples have anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory, like immune system, circulation, like all those benefits? And I think Dr. Steve was like, I didn't know that actually.
No, I didn't. No.
But it has all those benefits, and then it has even more. Like the list went on and on, like skeletal benefits, like everything. So I was like, okay, that makes sense why they say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. But like, let me look more into those chemicals within the apples and like how they relate to joint health as well.
Interesting.
So the two chemicals that I'll be referring to are polyphenol and Floratin, which are in apples.
Okay.
And those are those superheroes within apples.
Okay.
So I saw one study that was looking at rats with OA, which I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
so they must degenerate the joint. Help to degenerate the joints in the rats, I
they
assume?
Didn't mention that. Like, they literally just said that the rats have OA.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
So they surgically gave the polyphenol chemical to some of the rats, and then they gave a control to some of the other rats.
Okay.
And basically they looked at the ORC score, which is an OA score on, like, the severity of OA and how, like, degenerative it's gotten, and the production of like the oil between the joints. So I call it oil, but it's more like that articular cartilage and like more scientific terms, but I would just say the oil, like the lubricating structures within the joint that help us to move. And they found that within the rats that got that apple chemical source, that those scores went down, the production of that oil went up, like so basically, the superheroes did their job and they won in that study. Okay. And I liked that it was obviously a study that they were actually injected and everything. But I was like, I want a human study as well.
Because
I want
clinical trial.
I want to see how it is within humans, not just rats. So I found another study as well, where human osteoarthritic chondrocytes, which are those oil lubricating structures within our joints.
Okay.
They were kind of pre-treated with that antioxidant as well from apples. And it found that those also stopped the production of the bad guys within our body and within our joints, and protected those structures that they can kind of not degenerate more. So I was like, that is also a really good study to see those effects as well.
Okay. So in that human clinical trial, it wasn't people eating an apple.
No, it was their cells being pre-treated with the antioxidant chemical.
Okay. And so this was basic science, looking at it kind of
It was
lab
really, really scientific, really lab environment.
Okay.
A lot of my studies honestly were really scientific.
Okay.
But I kind of they kind of generalized it at the end of most of these studies that they're saying, they generalized it back to the basic, like, apples have these products, so they are good to eat for these things.
Gotcha.
But we made it really scientific to show you, like, really the background of how these superheroes are working. So I kind of liked how they went back to that, like, basic.
That's how we have to start with our science and our understanding of health and wellness, is you have to start sometimes with the basic cellular level. And then as it continues along the scientific continuum, that helps us to understand, okay, how does this really affect people in their day-to-day lives? But that's often the end game. So you have to start at the bench, right? And then it goes forward from there. So it's exciting to see that at the bench, whether it's in animals or whether it's in humans, there seems to be this protective effect of apples. Yeah. All right, guys. So we only have a few minutes left. So let's wrap it up here. What do you want your listeners to take away from today? So how could you summarize it maybe in a sentence or two? I'm going to give you each a sentence, since there's three of you, to summarize what you want your listeners to take away from today in terms of focusing on what your content was. So Lauren, do you want to start us off? What do you want your listeners to take away from the content that you delivered today?
Stay simple. Eat your fruits and vegetables and be happy.
Okay. All right, perfect. And Lauren, I want you to give me, you said that there were websites to help people to understand better about the quality of their food. So we're going to add that onto our website so we can share that website with others.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. And Emily?
Mine is to have curiosity. Like if you hear a quote about health or about anything, to really dive deeper into it, because you can find out a lot of really fun and cool information. Like I'm going to use all this information that I learned from diving deeper. So
awesome. Okay, yeah. Terrific. And Michaela.
Okay. So we talked a lot about using non-medication things to kind of combat that chronic inflammation. So one thing I take away is kind of use your resources. Go to organic places, find some foods that you like to eat, and, you know, keep it simple, like Lauren mentioned, and you could be successful.
Yeah. So we know that apples, because of the antioxidants that are inherent in them, berries, because of the antioxidants that are inherent in them, and garlic, because of the antioxidants that are in them, are three types of food that you guys have identified that can help in your health and wellness and potentially reduce inflammation and even in joint and autoimmune diseases. Mm-hmm. So those are some three easy things that hopefully people can go to the supermarket right now and incorporate that into their diet. Yeah. So thank you guys for bringing all this information to everyone. Thank you all for joining us on U Conversations with our Doctor of Physical Therapy students. We hope you learned a lot from this session, and we hope to hear from you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.